We are back, One By Podcast. We've got a special guest this week, and it has been a very good episode, I think that's fair to say. We speak about how he's the least successful triplet in his family. We talk a bit serious about racing results and social media, and we also just talk a lot of nonsense about triathlon. Anything important I've missed?
No, I think you've got it.
Nah.
Do you want to defend yourself before they listen, Yuri?
Me?
Do you have any defense as in the intro?
I think after they listen to the podcast, I think I will gain at least 10,000 woman followers.
Right, enjoy the show. Right, here we go. We're back with One By Podcast. We've got a new guest this week. It's Sam's friend. Sam came through with the goods. He promised us that he's made a new friend, and he's brought him on the podcast just to let everyone know that he's got some friends. So, lads, how are we doing?
Yeah, I'm good. Thanks, mate.
Do you want to introduce your friend?
I feel like everyone already know who he is. I just, you know, there's a lot of talk on this podcast of bringing people on, and then, you know, we're still waiting for certain people, but I like to think I've come through with the goods. So, yeah, we've got Yuri on this week.
Yeah, I just chat shit. Yeah. Welcome, Yuri. Well, it's good to have you on.
Thanks for having me, guys. It's amazing to be in a podcast with you guys.
Oh, mate. Wait till the end. You won't be saying the same.
All right. Okay. Well, you guys are British, and I like British people so far. So you have all, like, you have 45 minutes to change that.
Mate, this podcast is a lucky charm. We had Indy on, and then she won Miami, so...
Oh, really?
That is true.
That puts pressure on me.
We've also had Kieran Linders on, and he walked out and crawled out of there. So.
Yeah, but who got more social media coverage?
Yeah, I don't know. It's close.
Yeah. Well, I have to say, Kieran, he got in like the Dutch talk shows. They put his video into like the prime time Dutch television, like talk shows, like they have more than a million viewers, which is in the Netherlands a lot.
Wow.
And like his video came in that, but like they didn't say anything about the race. They just say, "Oh, isn't this extreme? Like to see a guy like crawling over the finish line in the event."
Like,
they didn't even say who the guy was. Like they just said, "Like isn't this extreme?"
Like, yeah. Triathlon actually.
He was definitely dramatic about it, though. He put that on just for the views.
Yeah, triathlon's actually losing popularity in the Netherlands now because everyone thinks it's too brutal.
Yeah.
Like they cancelled the event.
Yeah.
Actually, to be honest, like the triathlon has been bad in the news in the Netherlands for a while. Like that one's at Ironman 70.3 in the northern part of the Netherlands, and I think 10 or 15 people had to go to the hospital with a heat stroke.
Whoa.
Which is absolutely
ridiculous. Wow.
Because and it was all over the news. But
the Netherlands is like the UK, right? It gets one day of summer a year.
Yeah, and then it's like everyone is taking their barbecue out, like walk around in sliders and I don't know, it's mayhem then, I think.
I was having a conversation with an Aussie here, and I was talking about how the weather's been terrible in the UK, but I was like, as soon as it turns 15 degrees and the sun comes out, literally you won't be able to move in the park in Leeds with just people sunbathing with the t-shirts off. It's insane.
Yeah, exactly. People sitting on
is it the same in the Netherlands? Everyone just gets the tops off. Yeah
and they're sitting. Well, I think getting your top off is very British, like put some tats in your neck and like a football club logo on your arm. It's very British, isn't it?
So is sunburn.
You've got to spend 3 days with Sam then.
Yeah.
And it's such a British thing to like smell a barbecue and be like, oh, someone's having a barbecue.
They come towards the barbecue with their Adidas sliders on and like
oh man,
very good. How's you two are both in Singapore. I'm guessing you're not in the same room, so how is it out there?
It's awkward that they've done a really good job of putting us up in a 5-star hotel, but because it's warm and I am British, I want to go for a run with that top on. I don't want to bring it with me. So I'm stood in the reception of a mega hotel in just a pair of shorts, dripping with sweat. And I don't think
it's... Is it the Marina Bay Sands? Is it like the one with all the plants inside and stuff?
Nah, we're at the West End, but it's like... It's really nice.
400 a day. Yeah.
Is what?
It's 400 euros a day.
Oof.
Really? Whoa.
Am I allowed to say that? I don't know, but like...
I paid... So last year when we were there, me and Kieran split a room, which saved us obviously 50%, but we basically didn't get any appearance because we both DNF. So we started but didn't finish, but we got $2,000. And we basically didn't get any of that $2,000 back because of the cost of the hotel. It was mental.
Fuck.
So are you all paying for your own rooms?
No. So
The PTO. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. PTO gives you $1,000 to come.
Yeah.
You're guaranteed $2,500 prize money, even if you don't finish.
Yeah.
And then they pay, I think, 6 nights of hotel.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Because you obviously have to be there. But they want you there longer now, right? Because you have to do all the media stuff.
Yeah, but I didn't do that. Like, I just came Wednesday here and I said, yeah, you can plan everything in from Thursday.
Right.
That's a good deal, to be fair. Like, why would you turn that down?
Yeah, but on the other hand, like, for example, for me as a Walcott, flights are through the roof.
Yeah.
Like, if you know that, like, a month earlier, it's cheaper. So, like, I think for the guys with a contract, they are laughing, like, because it literally doesn't cost them anything. It brings them only a lot of money.
But the contracted athletes don't get the grand.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Then it evens it out.
I mean, I'm not saying the contracted athletes are hard done by.
I was going to say. Just for clarity. Paying us 70 grand a year and I've not got $1,000 a race.
Yeah. Just for clarity.
Poor lads. Poor lads.
Oh, I can't buy a beer after the race. Porridge for a week.
You know, you have to get those beers, like those cans with like, what is it, €2 for a bucket or for like six cans, isn't it? That cheap British beer, like, how's it called?
Oh, like a crate.
Yeah.
Oh, like the little French beers that you buy only for barbecues.
Yeah, and they're super cheap.
Yeah,
like 50p or something. And it tastes horrible, but you do it anyway.
Yeah, Tom is the beer expert, isn't it?
Yeah,
me. Yeah, I am. I probably would. Yeah, just have those at barbecues, to be honest. The beer's expensive here. I've had to cut back on just going VB. What's VB? It's expensive. Victoria Bitter.
Bogan beer.
Bogan beer. Yeah. Yeah.
Are you drinking now, Friday night?
I actually had a haircut earlier and they gave me a beer with the haircut.
Oh.
So,
mate,
yeah, that was...
Where'd you get your haircut, Leeds?
Where? Hive in Headingley, mate.
Because there's a place in Meanwood that do that.
Really?
Yeah. They offered me a beer or a whiskey and I went in at 10:30 in the morning.
So we had both.
Yeah. Good job I didn't drive there.
What did you say? Give me a whiskey so I can brush my teeth.
Yeah. He dropped his whiskey in the beer and saw it off.
Well, I was just kind of like, why is it so quiet during the day and I'm really busy of a night? So I went during the day because I knew it would be quiet and I get my haircut straight away, but it makes sense now.
What is that with guys and having like a brother relationship with their barbers? Like, you know, like when someone gives you a fresh trim, like you're like, this guy, I know him for years already, but like actually you just met him and he does your hair.
You end up chatting for so long.
Well, it's always, if you go somewhere new, it's always awkward conversation of like, what do you do? And I'm like, well, I kind of don't really do much.
Yeah.
But like, why could you get your haircut midday on a Tuesday?
Yeah.
I hate explaining that you're a triathlete. It's the most awkward thing. So I do a bit of swimming and running and cycling and I race. Like, where are you going next?
I went to the barber in Thailand and I said, like, oh, yeah, give me a nice cut. Like, I want the short. he was done and he smashed me on the back of the head. He said, so now go get Ladyboy. I was like, what is this? Like,
is that your excuse? Is that what you're saying? That's why you got a Ladyboy? Because your barber told you to.
Exactly.
Cutting breaking news on the One By podcast. Yuri's barber made him do it.
No, I didn't want that. No.
Sam, have you had much media stuff this week? Are you famous yet?
I got given a phone to take a picture of the mechanics.
Right.
And what else was it? Oh, someone asked me for a selfie. Yeah. In the hotel lobby, someone asked me and Al for a selfie. I went, do you want me to take the picture, mate? And he went, no, I want you in it. I was like, what? And then he said, good luck to me.
Oh, I hope for that selfie you had your cap on.
I didn't actually, no. I wasn't repping. I've been asked to do an interview though, so I'll be fully branded up.
Who with?
PTO live on broadcast.
Oh, is it the same as last time? Yes. Yeah, can't wait to watch that.
I'm going to be practicing in the mirror instead of.
Can you try and say Gaines and Ales in it?
Yeah, like, we have to give him a word, and like he has to say it in the broadcasting.
Yeah. Gaines and Ales used to be our group chat training name. That we were going to call this podcast Gaines and Ales before.
It's got something slightly obscure, like pineapple or something. Like Sam's talking about the race and it just gets the word pineapple in.
No, it's got to be like
Ladyboys.
Ladyboys. see if you can do a sentence with the words Ladyboys and Yuri in. Live on the broadcast.
Yeah, maybe. That'll be quite hard. I reckon I could get Ladyboy in. I don't know how I'd tie it to Yuri without it being just a straight blunt sentence.
Well, you have to work that one out, don't you? You got a few days.
I'm assuming this is going to be during the women's race as well, so.
Yeah, and it'll be live, so they can't cut it.
Oh my god, it's gonna be
Yuri, you're gonna need to apologize to your girlfriend now before she watches the race. Have you had quite a lot of media commitments out there, Yuri? Because obviously you started as a wild card for Miami had a good result, so now you're back on the scene.
In Miami I had nearly nothing, like only some photos, but I had a plain suit, so we had to do it again here. And then I got my media schedule before the race. And actually, it's been crazy, and today they want to film here and there. Like, they basically said, like, oh, because you're a wild card and you performed well in Miami, we would like to go all the way with you and create that storyline around you.
Yeah.
Which is
really nice. That sounds like you've got a good... That sounds like you might be getting into the rest of the races then. Maybe if you want it.
PTO, you have no idea.
Yeah, true.
It's like...
But mate, you proved them right in Miami. Or proved them wrong. You know, when we had this conversation over the message and I was like, you should be in there. And you went to Miami and you raced and you showed them. So
yeah, but like I was having a chat with them as well here. Or I was on the bike and they asked me to do an interview with them and I did. And they were like, for my surprise, they were really focused on like me having a contract. Like they really put the focus on that in a positive way. And they asked me like, how is that for you? And I said, well, the difference is that every race, if I get a wild card and I'm in, I have to prove myself. It's really triggering me to get everything out of my preparation and like race until like the last meter of the course, like really dig into the into the race and the preparation, which for
is
other
that
guys
stressful
to have a
for
contract,
you then?
On the other, I really like it in some way.
Okay. Good.
It's really like challenging me to get the best performance on the day. Like for some other guys, like you will see, it's like, especially I think this weekend, they just jump in the water and then maybe they do a bit of the bike and maybe they stop the race after that because they know they confirmed their contract and there's much more to come. A race like this is not worth it for them to like go all out and dig deep and recover for 2 weeks after.
There's two parts of that. There's surely one, it must be quite nice that you have the control now. So like you're racing knowing that whatever you do, it affects whether you're coming back or not, basically, rather than it's not political or any, well, obviously it is to some extent, but if you prove yourself, you'll continuously be invited back and you're getting good points. So you obviously earn a spot.
Yeah, but I really try to stay away from the political
thing
because I'm getting paid by my sponsors. I'm getting my coaches and my team around me to perform on race day.
Yeah.
And yes, I get the chance. I'm very happy for that. I have to take it. But like after the finish line, if I win or become last, it's not up to me anymore. I just let the management or anyone who is involved on that side just have the conversations with them and deal with them. And I will know when I have to show up.
Yeah.
On the other hand, making a plan for the whole race, for the whole year, it's just impossible. It's really impossible.
I was about to ask that question. Say this weekend goes well, like you're in for another wild card in America, the next race. Would you continue just going to every race, just like trying to deliver to get the next result? Or will you maybe take a break from them? Because obviously with these contracted athletes, they're allowed to take a couple of races out just to recover and take some time away.
Surely
would you
after three good results,
consider that?
You don't necessarily you need a fourth good result and you've got a series score.
Yeah.
Well, my biggest concern is that they gave me three wild cards and not the grand final.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you need the grand final, don't you, for the overall?
Yeah.
Is that right?
So ideally, I would hope to be in London. Then Ibiza and then Vegas or Dubai and then the grand final. That gives me six races. So I confirmed on a contract towards them. So that shows as well that I want to go for the T100 series. And I don't want to race Ironman races, Challenge Rough, name it, all the big race. I want to commit myself to the tour. On the other hand, it's not up to me. I just have to perform. And there is a place for me on the start line, yes or no. I think the better my results, the more difficult it is. But on the other hand, I just don't want to go around and say, oh yeah, I'm in the tour while the facts are I don't have a contract and I still need to be a wild card. And if all the 20 guys are racing, I'm still not on the start line then. So like,
in theory, all 20 athletes are doing the grand final. I mean, the chances of it actually happening are very slim.
But I think that they will, like, let's say I get podium this weekend. Magnus is not here and I could be potentially leading the series. I think they would be stupid not to give me or another wildcard athlete who's doing well a chance to go all the way, because again, they want drama. And
drama
is as well. That's what they said yesterday, literally here in the room. Like, they want drama. Of course, they don't want bike crashes, but they want the sprint finish, for example.
Yeah.
Mm.
So like for them is a big storyline as well. Like a guy with a wildcard came in and wins the tour, for example. I'm not saying it's happening, but like, that could be like,
Or even that could be in the books. If you're in a position where in the grand final, there is a possibility based on, like you said, you know, Magnus DNF, someone else finishes sixth, you win. If they can build it as if it's possible, they can sell it as a story.
Yeah, look at the grand final in the short course last year when Connix won overall. Like, that was insane. Like, it came from nowhere.
Like, for them as well, it's like let's say I win the series or get on the podium on the series. That is for them the highest exposure they could get from me, because it's like, we gave this guy a chance. He took it with both hands and look what we do. Like, it's as much as I need them, they need guys like in the position that I'm now, me as well.
Yeah.
Because it creates stories, because after like, let's say six races, you're done with the story of any other athlete who's having a contract, because it's all the same. Like, you want that refreshment into the tour. And that's basically what they said to me. But I just leave those conversations to the management and I just try to focus on what I have to do, and that's perform.
It's amazing your management let you race, aren't they? Didn't they want more money for a few athletes?
I have no idea. Like, it could be. I don't know. Like, I have literally no idea. The only thing that I know is that they manage me and
yeah,
they manage me to their possibilities. But yeah, I just try to, again, like, I can't imagine that they possibly want more money for some athletes. But on the other hand, like, yeah, I don't really care about it.
Yeah, like, fair. Have you raced a new bike yet?
No, it's the first time on my Italian Stallion.
Oh, nice. Have you got one bike yet?
No. I'm not going to ride. I'm not living in a flat area.
You could get around on a one bike in Girona, I reckon.
What would you recommend then? Like a 58 in the front?
I reckon a 56. No, I reckon for training 54... I reckon for Singapore you will want like quite a small one for Singapore, but for training 54 and then racing 56, 58. Sam might say different. Sam will be like 60 plus when, won't you?
Yeah, racing 60 plus training. I mean, training, I'd just go 52.
Yeah.
Is Sam like a big plate kind of guy?
I've got two Sams with me now. And I've not been eating
enough.
Not yeah. No, I'm really good at, I don't ride any of this stuff. I just inflict it.
Yeah, you just make sure it looks pretty.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. A bit of sugar coat on a chain and some wet wipes and it's all good to go.
sprinkle.
Yeah.
Whose is the second one? Al's.
Al's what?
Whose is the second bite? You said you got two in front of you.
Oh no, I had two chain rings in front of me. I have got Al's bike, but it's downstairs.
Yeah.
Alright.
So what's the size of the chain ring then, Sam? For Lucy this weekend?
For this weekend we're going with 52 because it's quite hilly. It's 1,000 meters of elevation on this course.
Yeah, it's hilly as fuck, mate. It's tough.
And we don't want our heart rate to spike, so we've gone 52.
Yeah. Yeah. Smart.
Yeah. And then Sabu will either go 56 or 60.
Does Lucy do anything herself or does she show up on race suit?
Nothing. It would just create more work for me.
But would you consider you're her bitch or would you consider you're her support?
We like the word the help.
Santa's little helper.
When we're in Thailand, I can't remember who I was talking to. I think it was Dan, Imogen's boyfriend. And he was just like, yeah, you know, like, us help. And I was like, what do you mean, us help? And he's like, yeah, we're the help. We help the athletes.
Okay. They're renowned for being super useful.
Yeah. Then the mechanics here have a stand for, like, me or, like, for Dan or, like, any partners or mechanics that want to work in the mechanics room so they don't have to just do it on a hotel floor. And he was just like, yeah, I think we're just going to create a booking system for it and just call it, like, boyfriend daycare. Because they all just... I get kicked out of the room because Lucy's like, oh, I want to have a nap. And it's like, where do I go? So obviously I just go downstairs and like play with bikes.
We say boyfriend, daycare. So, Yuri's girlfriend services all his bikes.
Oh, yeah.
Mate, she had a car accident. So she has one wrist. So she can't swap a chain. She can't get a tire off. Like, trust me, mate. Like, riff. I pack her bike even when I'm traveling. Like, no. Actually, and I'm not going to be, like, a racist or anything or, like, not offended.
And if anyone's wondering why the podcast ended here, it's because of what Yuri said next.
But some guys would, like, they would agree with me. If a male or, like... a boyfriend doesn't do anything on the girl's bike, it's like nothing happens to it. Like, they ride the same chain for like a year, the same cassette for a year. It doesn't have a clean. Isn't that right?
Yes and no. Because so I've got Lucy's bikes here, but I've also got, Lucy's bike. I've got Al's bike here. Al's bike's in a way worse state because he's left to look after it himself and I'm not there. Lucy's bike takes me 10 minutes to get race ready. Al's takes me like 2 hours. I agree, but I don't. And then, like, look at Indy. Indy proved Matthews that you don't need to be.
Indy's an exceptional. She's exceptional with that, isn't she?
She's one of the best mechanics I know.
Apart from
really,
she won the race in Miami with a headset bearing that was like dust. It may as well have not been there. I don't know how she went around any corners, and she's not changed it for this race.
I think because they raced in the dark, I think she just went straight everywhere.
Yeah, because they couldn't see it.
I love that.
Have you guys done the course recce for Singapore yet?
Are you allowed?
No, my coach.
I mean, like, have you gone on the bus tour? No. I mean, like, they took us on. They offered the bus tour last year.
I got offered a car ride by a local. Like, yeah, hey, you want to come and like, I drive you around. Like, people are so friendly here. Like,
yeah,
I feel a bit like Michael Jordan when I walk over the street, like on the expo or something like that. Like, but like, I think it's not that special. I looked up a lot online and like, it's just,
yeah,
I don't want to risk anything with riding outside here, to be honest.
Yeah.
Tom, did it rain last year? Was there a few, because a couple of people
were getting asked, it rained for the women's race. I think they all stayed pretty well. It was dry for us. I think it was dry for us. Gustav crashed on the dead turn. I'm not sure what happened. I can't remember who else crashed. We just had a few punctures.
Oh, that was it. Yeah.
Yeah, last year. Yeah. So Aaron might have crashed, actually.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, Aaron crashed.
Broly, yeah.
Yeah, because I remember him bending his rear back.
I mean, if you just mess up a corner, like, you're hitting them pretty fast at points. So,
yeah.
But it's not like ridiculous. But
it's definitely cooler when it rains, though, which is nice.
Yeah, has it cooled down with all the rain, like the water temperature and stuff?
Yeah, the water temperature is 1.5.
Apparently, it's 35 at the start of the week.
It's what, Yuri?
It's 30.4 now. They just measured it. Isn't it crazy? Like, oh, the water has come down. Like, it feels like, oh, maybe it's a wetsuit swim, but it's still 30 degrees.
Yeah.
Which is like, wild. Mentally, it's like, it's nuts. Like, I remember, Tom, have you been at the World Triathlon Grand Final in Cozumel?
Yeah. I had the best time of my life there, mate. It was so hot,
The water was 32 and a half, I remember, for the juniors race. And for the under 23 race, there was a cruise ship leaving the harbor. I think over 1,500 meters, they did like 30 minutes.
I think the current was fucked. Yeah, we had a different swim to the juniors and under 23s, I think. We swam into the harbour and stuff. But yeah, it was like a bath. It was just insane.
Yeah, like you swim in a bath of piss, feels like.
Yeah.
Apparently that's what Cebu's going to be like.
Yeah.
Cebu's going to be like over 30 degrees.
Oh, that raises the Philippines. Where you guys go?
Yeah, Ironman don't really have the rules. It's not World Triathlon, is it? They've got different rules, so...
Yeah,
we're gonna cook.
Yeah.
Well, that'd be interesting to see how much of the World Triathlon rules get adhered to this weekend, because obviously they're in theory meant to.
Yeah, I mean, I spoke to PTO and they were like, the Pro Tri news thing about the heat is not accurate. They make it out like we're not looking at heat at all, and we are, and we've put extra like measures in for it. Yeah. And then he said the pro trainer said that they declined to comment, but I think they text someone who was flying to Singapore, and then they didn't reply because they were flying, and then put the post out, and we're like, yeah, they just declined to comment.
Oh man. Right, no. It's a bit like being around like the Tokyo test event and stuff. Like, I didn't make the games, but obviously it was Tokyo in the summer's like mega hot, and they were like, they basically like changed the rules to help with people racing in the heat. So like World Triathlon will help put the event on unless they seriously think it's gonna like cause carnage. And I imagine the PTO are kind of following those rules. Like, I think you said more aid stations, hopefully, ice. Like a bit of assistance. More aid stations, ice, maybe the, potentially, I think in Tokyo, they allowed like helpers to put cold bottles on bikes, like after the swim had started, just so you get on the bike and it's cold, rather than like leaving your bike in transition for an hour and a half or something.
But then I've
there's just, loads like, of things they can do to help with the temperature. Like they're going to be proactive.
But I've just seen
it's been raining here all day, like the whole day. Tomorrow's going to rain most of the day. Just imagine it rains on the bike, and then the sun comes out and it gets hot on the run. Like how humid it must be, and how that could be carnage. Like that could be absolutely crazy. Yeah. That's just something that I try to prepare for, because for our race, it could be dry just before the race.
Yeah.
I just saw Ash and Josh getting lunch, and Ash had a puffer coat on. So I don't know whether she's just trying to get into everyone's heads by thinking it's by trying to say that she's not hot.
I'm walking around in a hoodie and long pants as well here. So like,
it's just makes a change. You know what? Nice to see you with your shirt on.
Yeah. But now I have my shirt off, of course. you know, it's what the girls want, isn't it?
That's what your lady boy told you.
Yeah. But I know that, like, for example, compared to Thailand, like the ventilation systems here are way more, like, way better. So, like, it stays a constant 20 degrees temperature in the whole hotel. But if you come from outside, you're a bit sweaty, or you're fragile for like air cons and stuff. Like, this is super easy to get sick or cold. So I think that is maybe the reason why she's walking around in like a puffer jacket or anything like that.
Fair.
To be fair, I've not taken the hotel robe off much since I got here.
Have you been filming in it as well?
I've been doing bike mechanics in it.
Have you been on that? Did you go on that zip wire thing? I saw that video of Lucy and Leo.
I wanted to talk about that. I've watched that video about 15 times. It's so funny.
So funny.
Well, so they asked all the athletes that were going to do that media day, and they all said no. And then they asked Lucy. Lucy showed me the video, and I just took her phone and was like, "Yes, you're doing it." I'm like, "There's no, we're not messing around here. This is going to be really good fun."
Yeah.
And she was way more nervous for that than she will be for the race tomorrow.
But like, she kind of like, if you analyze her scream, she's kind of exploding. Like, first she's alright, and then she goes like times 100.
Yuri, how many times have you watched it?
Mate, it's absolute gold. I love the echo that they put on as well.
Yeah.
It's absolutely great.
When she was going up, they were like, the staff were asking me, like, "Oh, like, is she nervous? Would she normally do this kind of thing?" I was like, "No, not a chance."
She looked
like,
terrified.
Yeah. I couldn't stop laughing at that. One of the best things I've seen. I loved it.
Yeah, it was so good.
Because, like, a lot of them, it was quite good. Like, they went go-karting, and then some did, like, a zip line and stuff like that. It's probably the best media sort of day out that I've seen. Normally it's just like, Sam Long's doing a bike ride, and come and watch Lucy Charles do a swim, and it's like, great, yeah. I mean, I don't know whether I'm the wrong market for it.
Can we just talk about how Sam Long is not swimming with Lucy Charles?
Well, they're in the same pool.
Well, yeah, but they've made it look as if they're doing the set together.
Yeah, but you could do that with Alan Ruth.
Poor Sam, then. Like, what was it for Lucy, a zone 2 swim, and for Sam, a VO2 max?
Yeah, exactly.
But like, I have to say, I see the media people running around here. Like, yesterday we were sitting at an Italian restaurant, and we saw them coming, like, to the hotel, like, 9 o'clock in the evening. They are fucked. They're absolutely hammered, smashed from the day. Like, they work around the clock here, and half of the equipment breaks because of the humid and the rain. Like, it's, I have to say, kudos for them. Like, they really tried to put it on, like, a good show. And
That's a good flag, yeah, definitely.
As someone that enjoys absorbing media, obviously, that, like, I'm in the media game, it's always cool to see, like I've said for ages, people at races don't do enough, because you never see much in the build-up. So to see them actually getting content out about all of, like, fine, it's still about the main athletes, but they are trying to get all of the athletes, and it is cool to see.
Yeah.
I just hope they trickle.
Who is?
Leon. He's like, I don't know, you know, like that awkwardness you get in front of a camera. He just doesn't have it. It was like,
I can't tell if you're being sarcastic.
No, he was really good. What was funny is before the swing thing, they had them walking around like a sensory nature park, and they split them up so it was Lucy and Freddy and Leon and Marjolaine, and it was like watching like Undateables or like First Dates.
What are like programs in that? Like down the road.
That is right, right. Not that one, but like they were like so walking
Yuri,
like
Yuri's worried about coming on and getting cancelled, and you've just cancelled us anyway.
Mate, like walking like all winter, so I'm not worried about that.
They had them like walking around looking at flowers, like, and there was all of them were stood like maybe a meter or two apart, so like awkwardly close, and they were just like filming them, like getting them to have like conversations and point at stuff.
what is this? Love Island.
Just to be clear, just so we're super clear on what happened there, you're not saying Freddy Funk had.
I'm not giving any comment.
I'll cover my back on that one.
Neither I deny or accept.
We've had some, obviously we've put out on Instagram that you are on the podcast. I chose a really flattering photo for you for that. We've had four responses. One,
big time.
Yeah, exactly. We only have 200 followers. So I think four is pretty good. Oh no, five actually. We had another one. This follower, I don't know who he is, Tom W. Bish, has put, would he like a schmoke and a pancake? I think that's borderline racism, but we'll go with it. MJ Mills, so, go on.
If I like a smoke or a pancake or both.
Tom, whilst you're here, you can.
Yeah.
It's a schmoke and a pancake. Austin Powers, great film.
It's quite funny because I've been calling Tom already like the whole year, the guy from Wayne's World with his caps, with his hair. Have you seen that scene where they're in the car with Bohemian Rhapsody?
Yeah.
Like, it's literally Tom, like with his hair cut, like the same height, like the same kind of talk. So like, it's funny that it actually comes with an awesome power move.
That is.
Yeah, and it's Mike Myers is a legend, isn't it?
Yeah. One of my favorite things about the Netherlands is those little Poffinger pancakes.
Oh, they're nice.
That and what's so it called? Nice. Hagelslag.
Hagelslag.
Yeah, see? I'm basically Dutch.
They took it a bit too far with the Hagelslag. So like first it started with like just sprinkles like of 100% chocolate or like milk and everything. Yeah. But now they go into fruits.
Like
they took it a bit too far. Like, yeah, it's so not much respect
so
left
to it. So
if
anyone doesn't know, it's basically like, it is just chocolate sprinkles, but then you put it on like toast or something and it goes like Nutella or you can have it
with butter.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
With butter, yeah.
And I basically raced in Almere once, did the 70.3 there. And on the way home, one of my friends was like, can you bring me a couple of boxes? I was like, no problem. Anyway, one of these boxes, my bike's obviously been manhandled in the airport, exploded in my bike box.
So I just had
chocolate sprinkles everywhere.
Oh, no.
For about 2 years, I was still finding like moldy chocolate sprinkles in my bike box. It was horrific.
Oh, nice, isn't it? It's a bit the same like a bag of isotonic exploding in the bike box.
Mate, Sean had her effervescent tablet, the hydration tablets. They fizzed everywhere on the way out here as well. It was bad. And I've had acetonic as well. It's so, when you open up your bag and you're like, oh, I've just got to clean everything. It's so bad.
Yeah, but what are you doing? Are you taking it to the gas station and get the pressure washer? Or are you just accepting the fact that it will be sticky for the rest of your use?
Yeah.
There is another option.
Oh.
You could go to a washing machine. You don't have to jet wash your clothes or wear them sticky.
That's why Yuri's never got a shirt on. It's because his clothes are actually just sticky.
Man's not hot.
Yeah.
The next question, I was expecting this, and I'm sure you will be expecting this, and we're going to answer it for you. You're not allowed to comment. Well, you can if you want. MJ Mills has said, what was it like to race at a legal distance on the bike in Miami? So we call him out for a start. And secondly, I think you proved to everyone what it was like, because you did fucking well at Miami.
Well, you know what it is? I've been put into a box the whole freaking winter, and people say things on social media.
Like, actually, at one point, it went a bit bananas. Yeah. People start texting my family and everything. So that got really personal.
Yeah.
But like within these kind of comments, like, to be honest, it's very nice to race on a legal distance.
Yeah.
Fair enough. That is like, especially like Race Ranger, it helps me a lot. Like, it's just sometimes, and you guys know as well, sometimes it's just bloody difficult on the course.
Yeah.
You know, you come on a fast downhill technical section, like, it's just difficult. So I'm 100% for Race Ranger using it in races. On the other hand, coming back to like the comments and everything, fair enough. I hope he listens to the podcast. I hope he changes his opinion about me. If not, fair enough. He wasted 45 minutes of his time. but that said, when that all happened in Mallorca, it looked very bad. Yeah. It looked very, very bad. Like, I'm not going to deny that. I'm not going to hide away from that. On the other hand, it was such a short video of a 3-second clip of coming up a hill after a fast downhill. People have no idea what actually happened in the race, the full race.
Yeah.
That's it. I'm not going to like protect myself here or anything. But like, I started working with a mental coach, not specifically for that, but just to see like, what kind of strength can I get out of those negative comments and out of the negativity? And literally after Miami, in the whole build up towards Miami, people been like putting me down, commenting on Instagram. Like, I never really read it, or I never really felt like that it was affecting me in a way after a couple of weeks after the race. But like, and then since Miami, actually people who are commenting bad on me are asking me for a friend request on Facebook or giving me a DM and say like, oh, amazing race, you're such an inspiration.
Yeah.
Like, again, like Miami, I never went into that race with proving people that I was a good athlete or that I have to prove people that I'm a fair athlete. I never went with that feeling into it. The only thing I have to do is just show up on race day.
Yeah.
And now actually, it's crazy. If I read through the comments and if I read on the YouTube comments on the videos that a PTO may make, people actually start to love me and know what kind of person I really am.
Yeah.
And like, it's easy to kind of put someone into a box and just think he's a horrible person. But like, behind me, there's a whole team that works with me to achieve my goals.
Yeah.
And as well, like Mallorca, yes, it was a big win, but like, if I look back on it and if I think back on it as well, like that race, yes, I took the win. Yes, it was big. But on the other hand, that race learned me so much valuable lessons as a person, but as well as an athlete, what I want to be and what I don't want to be and how I want to put away and how I don't want to put away.
Yeah.
That I'm actually very glad it happened. Yeah, and I know that something like that will never happen again.
Yeah.
And
it's a good, very good way of looking at it.
Yeah, that's the reason I'm here as well. Like, yes, it's not my way. I don't like social media at all. I'm not much on it. I'm not a fan of it. And yeah, I'm not a person who is going on social media and make myself a name or a bigger image than I'm actually are. I'm just someone that wants to perform on race day. And
yeah,
I think that is the most important thing for me.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, thanks for your question, Andy.
So we got a more lighthearted one. Chris Weeks, friend of the podcast. Oh. Put, how do I get a rig like that?
A rig?
Yeah, like the body.
Well, yeah. Well, that is like, if I look in the mirror and I see myself in the morning, I really think like, yeah, this is a definition of raw sex appeal. Isn't it?
Like, very good.
You know, they call Messi the Messias.
It's the same for me. And the British girl like the British girls like it, so
but we know that's fair enough. You pick your girls on what's per kilo, so there's no trouble about that.
Yeah, that's why my girlfriend is 40 kilograms.
Yeah, and then one of your fellow Dutch athletes, Maurice Mope.
Yeah.
Can you ask him if he's mad that his twin brother is better looking than him?
So actually I'm a triplet.
Really?
I have a sister and a brother. You know, like with triplets, they normally say so the good genes get divided by three. Well, that is not the case. It's just one and that's me. And basically my brother and sister are just like not enough. No. But actually coming back to Maurits, you know he's going to the Paralympics and that he can actually win a gold medal. Like he won the test event. Like he's a serious like contender for a gold medal in Paris.
That's really cool.
So it's funny, like he's a para athlete and he just became a dad and he quit his job now to focus on that.
Have you and Tom bonded over the twin thing?
Well, actually, let me tell you.
You know my brother, don't you? A bit. You were in Loughborough for a while.
Yeah. I was in Loughborough with him. I trained with him a bit when he was still doing triathlon. Like you know that we have three triplets in triathlon. We have Sam Long, Holly Lawrence, and me, and we are all triplets.
Well, if you didn't know, curveball. Now you know. Sam Long, Holly Lawrence, and Yuri were all born on the same day, same time, same mother.
let's say the father is questionable.
what a combo of triplets that would be. I can see that's it. You do look a bit like Sam Long.
That's why Sam Long says yo. That's how his parents got his attention.
But I don't know if I can say this, but like If it's too hard, please cut it out. But like,
I'm gonna have to cut that out.
Yeah, if you mess with the devil.
Yeah. Right. Anyway.
No, but like, actually, to be honest, like, our story is quite impressive with the triplet. Like, we've been born with 27 weeks, and we were all three less than 1 kilogram body weight. So like, we struggled for the first 3-4 years of our life, actually, to first of all be alive, and second of all, like, to not have any kind of like issues like the rest of our youth. So like, and actually, if you see now, my sister, she finished her PhD, and my brother is a nurse, and like I do, the triathlon gig a bit. But nice. Like,
what a mix!
It's quite a cool story.
Yeah. And finally, we've had a message from Kyle Glass, who we will know as the host of Pro Tri News, who says, I thought you lot hated triathlon. It's like, well, we do, Kyle, but it pays our bills, so thanks for that.
No, I think it's become cool to hate triathlon.
Yeah, we were on the hype way before that.
Yeah.
I go to the pub to forget about triathlon, to be fair.
Can you imagine? Yeah.
Yeah. But Tom, you must have, like, on a serious note, like, when you didn't make the Olympics and everything, like, you must have a difficult period as well with, like, actually still enjoying the sport, isn't it?
Oh, like, thank God for, like, long course, because, like, short course, I was so over it. And then, like, long course, you actually meet some, like, we met in Miami last year. I mean, we've met before, but, like, we actually hung out on the beach, didn't we, for a while. Like, it's so nice to kind of meet different people with a different agenda. Like, I've been hanging out with people in Noosa and it's been sweet.
But so, I think even in the way, so obviously we've now done this for like a while, episode 32, 33, whatever we're on. The way you talk about triathlon, it's clear you don't take it as seriously as some others in the sense of like, I know you do as your profession, but you're not all consumed by it and you have a much more, because you've been in the sport a long time now, you have a much more laid back view on like, this is my job, not my whole life.
Yeah, definitely. Like, and there's a point in your life where you will. Yeah.
But like, you find it, you must have seen that, like people that are all consumed by triathlon, you don't have that.
Yeah, but they don't last very long. Triathlon careers are getting shorter. I was speaking with Josh Amberger about it, actually, and we have the same view. It's like, we're still in it, and we're in our 30s. You see some people come and go within 5 years of triathlon. So I like this sport so much that I want to do it for as long as I can. Yeah. Some people like the idea of being like a shooting star, like go in, win a medal, Olympic medal or whatever, then go away. I just like the sport. I want to be in it for as long as I can. And maybe there's a different approach to life with those sort of ambitions.
I think as well for you with like the whole story with federations and like making it to the Olympics or making it not like, I think, and yeah. That is at least for me, but like, I think one of the best things someone ever said to me is like, you have to sit on the couch in 10 years and maybe have kids or little family around and you have to like tell them with passion what like you did and that it was the best time of your life, no matter if you made it to the Olympic Games or if you made it to whatever race you wanted to like win Kona or anything. Like, like it has to be like the most amazing time of your life.
Oh, and even if you close to it, like even if you get no results, like not a single good result, you still have to be able to look back and say, "Well, I gave it a good shot, and I had a lot of fun along the way."
Oh yeah, definitely.
As well, like my girlfriend, she had that horrible car accident, and like it's like before that, it was her whole world. Like cycling, everything was like, if it wasn't cycling, you couldn't have a conversation with her or anything. At least that's what she said to me. I just jumped in a good moment, but like. she said when I got hit by that car, like you kind of figure out like what really matters and what really is like important in life, and because we are as athletes, like we are so caught up in our own world that sometimes, like for me, that was like the perfect example. Was like I won then Mallorca, Barcelona, I got in the rankings, I beat Alistair, like name it all. I went the week after to London with my girlfriend to see her sister and her family, and no one has any fucking idea what you're doing.
No
one gives a shit who you are. Like literally, it's just such a niche, small world that we live in as triathletes. And there's so much more to go for, I think.
But it's funny because whenever I tell people I'm a sports photographer, they're like, what do you do? I'm like, oh, I'm a sports photographer. They're like, oh, amazing. Is it football? I'm like, no. What, just ever rugby or anything? I'm like, no, I actually do triathlon photography. Like, oh, cool. And that's it. End of conversation. It's literally like such a small thing that only us as triathletes really know what it is, right? As in like, it's not wider, it's not bigger than the sport. It's not bigger than the fans or the participants, really.
Yeah, but as well, like we are now like in the tour and the fact that like as an athlete, if you are in the tour and you do well, you like you can actually make good money now. It is good times to be a professional top class athlete. Like, but on the other hand, like it can be done in like, let's say if the PTO doesn't get everything around that they want to, which is possible. As same for Ironman, the same for Challenge, same for every kind of organization. If they can't get like that funded sustainability structure under them or around them, this could be done in with 3 years and you could be back racing like local races again. So like it is way too short to think about like, oh, and what do I want in the future? And I want that big race. Like, no, just enjoy that you're here in Singapore and you're going to race Sunday, the best guys in the world. Like stick to that.
100%.
And, like,
well, I think that's a good note to end on.
One naughty joke or anything that they want to bring in to...
We'll get that on the intro. Right, well, Yuri, thank you very much for coming on. Good luck this weekend. We genuinely hope you have a ripper and just repeat what you are capable of.
Thank you.
Lads, we'll catch up after the race when when you two are both in Cebu.
Yeah, let's catch up in the Philippines.
We'll work something out there. That'll be easier with time zones. But thank you for coming on and we'll catch you all soon.
Adios.
Ciao. Cheers, guys. See ya.